Well, good evening. Blessing it is to be back tonight. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of John, the 16th chapter. We had that open for our scripture reading tonight. We're going to go back there. That'll be the basis for our study tonight. It is, as I said, good to see everyone back tonight. We do have visitors. Thank you for being with us. And we're going to continue our study on the Holy Spirit tonight and talk about His work. Not everything that the Holy Spirit has done or is doing, but the work of revelation primarily will be the focus of tonight's study. And then this will continue to expand as we continue our study of the Holy Spirit. It is very important that we study what the Holy Spirit has revealed about Himself. We need to go to the inspired source, the source that the Holy Spirit Himself has given us. That's the only reliable source of information. You can read a bunch of books out there. You can go get them off the shelf at Mardell's or any of these Bible stores around. You can get them off the internet. And you can pay these preachers even, probably order a bunch of them directly from these preachers that write about the Holy Spirit. But they're all the opinions of these men, and they, 99.9% of them, are wrong when it comes to the Holy Spirit. They are writing their emotional, their preconceived opinions about the Holy Spirit instead of actually examining what the Scriptures teach about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has revealed all the truth about Himself that we can know, and that's found in the Scriptures. And we must examine what the Holy Spirit has said about Himself. There's a book by Brother Franklin Camp. Many of you have heard of him, perhaps. I suspect Brother Ship back there, he knows or has read from Brother Camp before. He wrote a book on the work of the Holy Spirit, a very good book. And he makes the point in the beginning, in the introduction to that book, about all of the errors that come from a misunderstanding of the Holy Spirit. Now, he doesn't mention all of them specifically, but he just talks about the myriad of different ways that we could go. If we're wrong about the Holy Spirit and we have a false concept of what the Holy Spirit does and how He does what He does, then we can be led into all kinds of error. For example, in Calvinism, they have this idea that the Holy Spirit has to miraculously regenerate you before you can come to know the truth, believe the truth, accept the truth, and do the truth. You have to have this miraculous operation of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, you cannot desire to come to God. Well, that puts all of the responsibility of one coming to God upon the Holy Spirit Himself. I should not be held accountable or responsible if I do not come to God, according to Calvinism, unless and until the Holy Spirit does what He's going to do, if He does it at all. And according to them, that's only for the few that He does anything. That's the elect, and nobody else will He work on. And therefore, the majority is condemned. And so there's right there you have a false concept, and that then has consequences on down the road. You also have this very popular concept today that, you know, the Bible is just words, and they say it's a dead letter. But in order to understand the Bible, you have to have the Holy Spirit enlightening you directly. Otherwise, you can't understand the Scripture. So you know what that's resulted in? A lot of people have thrown their Bibles away. They don't read the Bible. Why read the Bible? I got the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will tell me what's right or what's wrong. He'll lead me in life. And they throw the Bible away. Maybe not literally. They just leave it on the shelf. They don't read it. They don't study it. And so what is the consequence of that? You have a bunch of ignorant people when it comes to God's Word, when it comes to the truth. Many of the religious folks of our day are led off into this emotionalism. Where does that come from? It comes from a misunderstanding of the working of the Holy Spirit. They believe and they associate their feelings for the Holy Spirit guiding them, enlightening them. when indeed, in fact, it is their corrupt heart that's leading and guiding them, instead of God's Word. Many misunderstand the working of the Holy Spirit, and there are a lot of false ideas that come from that, whether it be Holy Spirit, baptism, miraculous gifts, or direct leading of the Holy Spirit. All of those things are important to understand. And in the process of our study, we'll continue to dig a little deeper into this. This evening, we're simply going to focus in on the work of the Holy Spirit in revealing the mind of God to man. Let me submit to you that in history, we can see the Holy Spirit. For example, in the creation of the world, we read of the Holy Spirit from the very beginning. We read of the Father's work, the work of Jesus, the Son, the Word, and we also read of the work of the Holy Spirit in the establishment, the organization of the universe, the material universe. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, we see that the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. And because of the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit did, all the things that were created were brought into its purpose. It was organized in the way that God desired them to be organized. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And so the Holy Spirit is in the very beginning and He is working. We see in the church the same thing. We see the Father who had planned both the universe and the church, Ephesians 3 verses 9 through 11, this was in the eternal purpose of God. Not like what premillennialists tell us today, that the church was an afterthought or it was plan B. And since the Jews rejected Jesus and the kingdom, then God went to plan B and established the church for the Gentiles. That's all false. God had the church in His plan from the very beginning. This was in the eternal purpose of God. And then the Son came and executed the Father's will when the time was right, according to Galatians chapter 5. And so in Matthew 16 and verse 18, Jesus comes and He says, I will build my church. And in John 4 and verse 34, He foretold of that new covenant and that this was His way. In Acts 2 and verse 47, we see that the Lord had built His church because the Lord added daily to the church those who are being saved. But the Holy Spirit had a work in that. The Holy Spirit organized the church. Question, how did He do that? How did He do that? Well, there were some hands-on, if you will, figuratively. The Holy Spirit directly was involved in the organization of the Lord's church in the beginning. And the Holy Spirit was working, just as Jesus told His apostles that He would. But the main purpose and the main work of the Holy Spirit in organizing the church was through the process of revelation. Going back to John 16 and verse 7, Jesus says, Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. Now, as we talked about last time, the Helper here is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not just a power force. The Holy Spirit is a person, a divine person. And Jesus says, I will go and I will send the Holy Spirit to you. Verse 8, and when He has come, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in Me. Of righteousness, because I go to My Father and you see Me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Now, the Holy Spirit is going to be convicting men. He's going to be convicting them of sin because of their unbelief. He's going to be convicting them of righteousness. He's going to proclaim the righteousness of God. He is going to proclaim the righteousness of Christ. He is going to also proclaim judgment. And the Holy Spirit is going to come and reveal these things. I still have many things to say to you, Jesus says, but you cannot bear them now. Now, before Jesus died on the cross, there were many things that Jesus needed to reveal to them that they simply could not handle, for a multitude of reasons, actually. But one was they simply had not experienced the death of Christ at this point. In fact, as Jesus had previously tried to tell them about his death, what was their response? Oh, no, Lord, you can't do that. Oh, no. They didn't believe him, really. And there were other reasons. They simply were not mature enough. They were not capable or able to receive the teaching that he would ultimately give them through the Holy Spirit. But he goes on, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Not some truth, not most truth, but all truth. And Jesus is not talking to you, by the way, personally. This message is not for everybody. I've heard preachers say, well, see, Jesus promised to us the Holy Spirit, and he would guide us directly through the Holy Spirit into all truth. No! Jesus is promising this to his apostles. The Holy Spirit is going to come to his apostles. The Holy Spirit is going to lead his apostles into all truth. Now, it is true. It is true that as we go to the New Testament and we read what the Holy Spirit has revealed to the apostles, through the apostles, and had them record for us, we can come to a knowledge of the truth. And through that means, the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth if we'll simply take the words of the Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is not going to come to you personally and lead you personally, individually, separate and apart from His Word, into all truth. That's what I would call taking a passage out of context, if you want to apply that personally to us today. This was a promise to the apostles. He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore I said that He will take of Mine and declare it to you. The Holy Spirit is going to declare these things to the apostles. Jesus here is talking about the revelation that is to come through the Holy Spirit to the apostles. He is going to reveal to them all truth. You know, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit revealed the truth, the Old Covenant, and the words that were given to the prophets of the Old Covenant. In the Old Testament, he says in 2 Peter 1, verse 19, "And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in the dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation." The word interpretation here does not mean the way in which we read and understand the Scripture, but rather he's talking about the source of the Scripture. The Scripture is not of any private interpretation. That is, it is not of the apostles or the prophets themselves. They did not come up with this themselves. The source was not the prophets. Verse 21, "For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit revealed these things to the prophets of old. In Mark the 12th chapter, in verse 36, Jesus says, "For David himself said by the Holy Spirit, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool." David himself said, by the Holy Spirit. It was by the Holy Spirit that David said what he said. He was inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave him these words. He spoke these words. He wrote these words. These, therefore, were the words not just of David, but of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1 and verse 16, "Men and brethren, this Scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus." This again refers to something that David said, but it was the Holy Spirit that gave David the words. Therefore, it was the Holy Spirit that said it. The Holy Spirit was revealing these things that would eventually come to pass through these Old Testament prophets. It was by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was the revealer in the Old Testament of things that would come. The Holy Spirit was the revealer of God's will to the children of Israel. It was the Holy Spirit that was making known to His people God's will. In Acts the 28th chapter, verse 25, "So when they did not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul had said one word. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet to our fathers." The Holy Spirit spoke. He spoke through Isaiah the prophet. In 2 Samuel 23 and verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and His word was on my tongue. You know, when David said, the Holy Spirit spoke by me, and His word was on my tongue, David is claiming inspiration directly from the Holy Spirit. In other words, the words that David spoke were the words of the Holy Spirit Himself. In Jeremiah 30 and verse 2, thus speaks the Lord God of Israel, saying, write in a book for yourself all the words that I have spoken to you. These were the words of the Holy Spirit. And you know, my friend, when they, the children of Israel, when they rejected the writings of the Old Testament prophets, they did not merely reject these men, but they rejected the Holy Spirit Himself. Thus, they rejected God Himself. When we reject the words of the Spirit, we reject God Himself. That's important to remember. That is very important for us to understand. In Nehemiah 9 and verse 30, yet for many years you had patience with them and testified against them by your Spirit in your prophets. Yet they would not listen. Therefore you gave them into the hand of the peoples of the lands. God, through the Spirit, spoke to the prophets. The prophets spoke to the people. The people rejected the prophets. Thus they rejected the Spirit, and they rejected God who had sent the Spirit. By your Spirit, in Acts 7 and verse 51, Stephen is speaking to the Jews who were about to stone him to death. They had accused him of blasphemy, and they had drug him out of the city. And his response, Stephen's response to them is, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. How did the fathers resist the Holy Spirit? They resisted the words of the Holy Spirit. They resisted the prophets who spoke by the Holy Spirit. They resisted Moses. Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses. They resisted Joshua. They resisted Samuel. They resisted the judges. They resisted Jeremiah and Isaiah. They resisted the prophets. In resisting the prophets, they resisted God Himself. Now, this is a very important lesson to get a hold of. Because in today's religious climate, people do not place a lot of stock in what the Bible says. Have you noticed that? They, in fact, many will ridicule serious Bible study. They do not understand the need to be engaged in serious Bible study and meditation upon the Scriptures. One of the reasons why is because they have been fed a false doctrine that the Holy Spirit is going to lead you or guide you apart from the Word itself. And so they don't care really what the Bible says. They think that the Bible is just a bunch of old fairy tales or the opinions of men, or they believe that it has been corrupted over time, and so we need to just follow the Spirit and not the letter. My friends, the same thing is true with us today, as was true with those scribes and Pharisees in the days of Christ. You know what? In John, the 5th chapter, Jesus makes that very point. In John chapter 5, now, at that point in time, I mean, we're hundreds of years removed, right? Over 1,000 years removed from Moses. 1,000 years removed from David. And the Scriptures had been in existence for that long, over that, 1,500 years. And the scribes and Pharisees, though, they placed a lot of stock in the Scripture. However, the problem is they really did not believe the Scripture. They placed more emphasis upon their traditions than they did what God actually said in the Scripture. And so Jesus argues that they, in fact, verse 38, he says, "But you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent him you do not believe." And he goes on in verse 40, "But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive honor from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you." Now, how did he know that? Because they rejected God's word, and thus they rejected him. He goes on and he says in verse 45, "Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me." But they rejected the writings of Moses, whom they said they trusted. People today say they trust God. They say that they believe in Jesus. But yet, listen, yet they reject the very teaching of Jesus. They reject the words of Jesus. How many people in the religious world today disagree with what Jesus said in Mark 16 and verse 16? Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." How many people in the religious world take issue with what Jesus said? Do they really believe Jesus? We have the same problem today that they did then in the days of Christ. Except today, you know, instead of saying, "Well, if you'd have believed Moses, you'd have believed..." If you'd have believed Jesus! They don't really believe Jesus, because they don't believe in what Jesus said. They do not believe in what the apostles and prophets wrote. And just like those people that Stephen spoke to, they resist the Holy Spirit, although they claim to have the Spirit. They claim to be led by the Spirit. When at the same time, they reject what the Spirit said in His Word. In John 14 and verse 26, Jesus says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." The New Covenant message, the Gospel, is revealed by the Holy Spirit, just like the Old Testament was revealed by the Holy Spirit. And just like with the Jews of the first century who rejected the writings of the Old Testament, many today reject the writings of the first century, of the apostles, of Jesus Christ, that were guided by the Holy Spirit to write what they wrote. Many reject those writings. In John 16 and verse 13 again, Jesus tells His disciples that He will guide you into all truth. Not most truth, but again, all truth. There is nothing left for the Holy Spirit to reveal today through Benny Hinn or anybody else. By the way, I don't know if you saw this or not, but this past week I saw a report that Benny Hinn has come out now opposed and has spoken out against the health and wealth gospel. Y'all seen that? He's come out and said, "That's the devil's doctrine." Well, I'm good to hear that. Maybe he'll come all the way to the truth. He has deceived so many people. He has led so many people away from God, and all the while claiming to have the Holy Spirit to back him up. And now he's wrong? Did the Holy Spirit lead him wrong, I wonder? Maybe he's just finally come to believe more of the Bible than he has in the past. I think that's the actual truth of it. Jesus, you know, preached by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was working in Jesus. He had the Holy Spirit without measure. And His power was through, also aided by the Holy Spirit. Jesus gave commandments through the Holy Spirit to His apostles. Jesus told His disciples to wait in Jerusalem until they received the power from the Holy Spirit. And the apostles received the Holy Spirit on Pentecost in 30 AD. And you know what? Beginning in Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. That, and we'll talk about later in future lessons, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There are a lot of people confused on what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is or was. We read about it in Acts chapter 2. And the Holy Spirit coming upon the apostles was not merely for a sign, although it was a sign. It was a sign that these men were speaking by the inspiration of God, that these men were approved by God, and that people needed to listen to them. It was a sign, but it wasn't just a sign. These men were empowered. They were equipped with the Holy Spirit. They received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and Paul preached the words of the Holy Spirit. For example, in 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 13, he talked about preaching the cross, and he did not come preaching the wisdom of men. But he came preaching the cross with power. And the Holy Spirit was confirming the words that he spoke, but not merely confirming them. The Holy Spirit was giving him the words. And he spoke what the Holy Spirit told him to say. These words, these are not the words of men, but the words of the Spirit. Verse 13. So Paul preached these words, the new covenant message, is revealed by the Holy Spirit. These are the words of the Spirit. In Mark 13 and verse 11, but when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak, for whatever is given you in that hour, speak that, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus is promising them divine help. And so when you turn over to places like Acts chapter 4, when Peter and John are arrested and they're brought before the Sanhedrin court, you know what they're saying? These words are given to them by the Holy Spirit. They are speaking inspired words. When in verse 19 of Acts 4, when Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And those things which they had seen and heard, well, certainly they had personally seen the death of Jesus, the burial of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus. And they had been with Jesus personally as he taught them. But they were also being inspired and taught by the Holy Spirit himself personally. These things were being revealed to them. In 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1, Paul, listen to the words of Paul. Now the Spirit expressly says, this wasn't just some feeling that the Holy Spirit gave to Paul. This was not just some intuition or I feel like the Holy Spirit is nudging me this way. He says, the Holy Spirit expressly says, these words are from the Holy Spirit, that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. And so Paul says, the Spirit told me this. Words. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37, Paul there argues that the things that he wrote are the commandments of the Lord. Not suggestions, but commandments. But these things were things given to him by the Spirit. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he's talking about the miraculous spiritual gifts that the Corinthians had and how to use those gifts. Now, these gifts were given by the Spirit. The Spirit had given these Christians of the first century these miraculous gifts. But they still had, as human beings, as individual Christians, they were to control how these gifts were being used. They were to continue to have order within their assemblies and thus exercise control over these gifts. And one of the things that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, there he talks about the women and the head covering. And as the, if they prophesied or they prayed, and I believe there he's talking about prophecy in the Scripture in the New Testament, that term always is being applied to a miraculous spiritual gift, prophesying. They are inspired people, speaking as directed by the Holy Spirit. And inspired prayer was also something that they had. And I believe that these women of 1 Corinthians 11, they were inspired by God. But they could not be speaking in the assembly because in 1 Corinthians 14, 34, he says, I do not permit a woman to speak. Same thing in 1 Timothy chapter 2. But then he turns right around and says, these are commandments of the Lord. This is what the Holy Spirit has told me. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 1 through 8, Paul there, throughout this section, I think this is will give us a glimpse into what was going on as far as revelation, inspiration, and then the process of teaching that the apostles were doing. In verse 1, he says, "Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus." Now, Paul says, through the Lord Jesus. Now, what did Jesus promise the apostles? That he would send the Holy Spirit. And that the Holy Spirit would teach them what? All things that were his. And so the Holy Spirit would tell them the things that the Lord told him to tell them. So remember, when Paul here says, we gave you these commandments through the Lord Jesus, certainly he's not cutting the Holy Spirit out of the process. We must understand that the Holy Spirit was involved in this process. "For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality." By the way, one of the works of the Holy Spirit is to sanctify men. How does he do that? "For this is the will of God, that your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. That no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified, for God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness." Now, we were called by the gospel. The gospel is from the Holy Spirit. And here Paul is teaching them how to live, being guided by the Holy Spirit. These words are the words of the Spirit. They were taught these things. Notice in verse 8, "Therefore he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit." There are folks today who say, you know, we're under grace, and it really doesn't matter how we live. It's not necessary to be saved to live a holy life. We're saved by faith alone. They'll say, now, if you do have faith, I mean, you would try to live a holy life, but they always emphasize to you that you can't do that. You know, you really can't live a holy life. You've got a sin, you just can't help it. You're just human after all. But Paul, by the Holy Spirit, emphasizes the need to live a holy life. Peter does the same thing in 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 13. We're to be sober-minded. We are to live holy lives. We're to be holy as God is holy. These are the teachings of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has revealed these things. And if we reject the teachings of the Holy Spirit, who do we reject? In Ephesians 3, in verse 3, Paul there says that, "Now that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets." You know, it's interesting. These things were not revealed directly to every Christian. These things were revealed directly to the apostles and prophets, chosen by the Lord. They were not revealed directly to all Christians. These things were revealed to these apostles and prophets. And what did these apostles and prophets do? First of all, they taught the people. They taught them what the Holy Spirit told them. Secondly, they wrote these things down, so that when we read, we may understand their knowledge in the mystery, the things that had not been previously revealed, which have now been revealed by the Spirit to the apostles and prophets. And today we can go to our Bibles and we can open up in the New Testament and we can read these very things, the things that had not been revealed in the Old Covenant, but had now been revealed by the Holy Spirit to His apostles and prophets, and we can read everything that the Lord wants us to know in order to serve God acceptably. In the book Reason and Revelation by Milligan, he says the promises of supernatural aid to the apostles had not reference merely to their verbal instructions and extemporaneous addresses, but also to their writings as the appointed legislators and plenipotentiaries of the kingdom of heaven. The latter indeed are even more important than the former. The effect of their addresses was temporary, but the influence of their writings will endure forever. Why did God have them write these things down? To preserve them. He put it, if you will, in writing so that it would be preserved from generation to generation. And through His sovereignty, He has kept His writings, His will, His word, preserved from generation to generation. Today, we have the Word of God in its totality. Jesus promised His apostles that He would send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit would reveal to them all truth. In Ephesians 3, 1 through 5, Paul said that when we read, we can understand His knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And these things had been revealed to the apostles and prophets by the Holy Spirit. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, and verse 16, Paul there says, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly equipped unto every good work. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, there we see that we've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. All things. The Holy Spirit has revealed the entirety of God's truth to mankind. And since the first century, we have had access to that so that we can be pleasing to God. In Jude, in verse 3, the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. It wasn't delivered a little bit in the first century, and a little bit more in the third century, and a little bit more in the fourth century, and just kept on giving a little bit more till our present day. No, it was all given in the first century. Once for all delivered and confirmed and recorded. And we have it. And we have it all. The Holy Spirit provided all we need. Now, as we look around us today in the religious world, there are a lot of different sources that are appealed to for a variety of religious beliefs. And yes, atheism is a religion, by the way. I'll go on record and state that. It is a religion. It takes a lot more faith, my friend, to believe that everything that exists accidentally happened than it does to believe that God made it. It really does. A lot more faith. Blind faith. Buddhist writings of the word of the Buddha, the Hindus, the Vedas, the Muslims, the Quran. I mean, all these different books. The Jews, the Torah, or the law of Moses. Now, at least the Jews have an inspired record. It's just outdated. It has just been fulfilled in the New Covenant. But they're wanting to hold on to that which has been fulfilled, and they're not accepting the new revelation of God, which is all of the Scripture, including the Torah, by the way, which foretold and prophesied and pointed to Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the fulfillment of that. He is the end of the law. Romans 10 and verse 4. The Holy Spirit provides everything. Now, more specifically, there are a lot of different kinds of Christianity. Got a question yesterday in an email wanting us to talk about on our radio broadcast this upcoming week, wanting us to talk about the divisions that exist in the religious world, and including divisions that exist among churches of Christ. Why do some churches believe that it's wrong to have Bible classes? Why do some churches believe that it's wrong to have women teaching young children? Why do some churches believe that you have to have one container to observe the Lord's Supper out of? Why do some congregations believe that you have to wear a head covering if you're a woman, in order to worship God during the assembly. Why do some churches believe this and some believe that? There are different views. There are different beliefs. And even more so, there are, you know, in the religious world, in the denominational world, you have the Catholic Church, the Jehovah's Witness, the Mormon. Different beliefs is what separates these groups from each other. A failure to accept the teachings of the Bible and to follow the teaching of the Bible result in division. Whereas if we simply took what the Holy Spirit has revealed, and if we follow that, then we will be what the Lord wants us to be. But one of the problems in all of these different religions, listen, there's something else going on in all of these. My clicker just stopped. In all of these, there's something different. Like in the Catholic Church, you've got something other than the Word of God, don't you? You've got the Catholic Church, you've got the Pope who makes the rules. Jehovah's Witnesses, they have a different book. They have a different order. They have the Watchtower, an organization that's actually located in New York City. And they make the rules. And they formulate the doctrine for the Jehovah's Witnesses. Mormons, you have the Book of Mormon, Joseph Smith, and the Book of Mormon. All of that comes from something else besides the Bible. They're adding to the Word of God, or they're taking away from the Word of God. The Presbyterian, the Methodist Church, the Baptist Church, there's something else besides the Bible. In order to be a Baptist, and I don't want to, you know, talk like, you know, there is some superiority in what I believe or what I think than what somebody else in the denominational world thinks or believes, as far as from originating in myself, my intelligence or anything like that. But I do want you to understand that what makes a Baptist different from a Methodist? What makes a Baptist different from a Presbyterian? Is that there are different beliefs. And how great it would be if we would simply throw away the doctrines that we cannot find in the Bible and simply go back to the Word of God and the Word of God only, believe that and follow that, do away with the name Baptist. There's a good place to start. Why do they call themselves Baptists? Why can't they call themselves Christians? Why not just be a Christian? And why not just follow the Lord? If we follow the teaching of the Holy Spirit in the Bible, we will be what the Holy Spirit wants us to be. Now let me emphasize again, just because a group of people claim to follow the Bible does not make it so. Listen carefully. Only those who are actually following the Lord's teaching are accepted or pleasing to the Lord. And if I'm not following the Lord actually through His teaching, through His Word, through the Scriptures, I'm not pleasing to the Lord either. Okay? The criteria is, what has the Holy Spirit revealed in His Word? That's what we need to be following. The Holy Spirit has revealed all truth. He has confirmed that truth. That truth is to convict men of their sin. We are convicted by that truth. In fact, in Acts 2 chapter in verse 37, when those on the day of Pentecost heard the preaching of the Apostle Peter and the other apostles, they said to the men and brethren, "What shall we do?" Why did they say that? Because they had been convicted of their sin. When they heard this, they were cut or pricked in their hearts. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" When they heard this, heard what? Heard the gospel message that was given by Peter and the other apostles. And it was through that message that was preached, men were converted to the truth. 1 Peter 1 and verse 22. "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit." Yeah, the Spirit was involved. And it was through the truth, though, that was the means by which He converted these people, that they were born again, verse 23, by the Word of God. which lives and abides forever. The Holy Spirit works through His Word. He sanctifies men by His truth. He leads, He indwells, He strengthens and seals through the truth that He's revealed. We'll talk about those things later in another lesson. This lesson is just, again, though, emphasizing the need to read, study, accept, believe, and follow the things that the Holy Spirit has revealed. Here's a chart that we'll be seeing again in the future. We do not have time tonight to go through it and examine it, but I want to throw it up just so you can see the point. Whenever you read of the Word of God in the Scripture, it's always emphasized that it is not words of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. And the work of the Holy Spirit is constantly associated with the work that is accomplished through the Word. In fact, every action that you see the Holy Spirit doing in the Scripture, you can also find a passage that corresponds with that work, and it demonstrating how the Word is the means by which that work is accomplished. I believe this, that the Holy Spirit works only today in convicting, converting, and sanctifying men, leading men through the revelation that He has revealed. You can see it and you can compare it passage after passage and you see the things that are done. The Holy Spirit says is said to do these things, and then we're told that the Word that He has revealed does these very things. The question so much isn't what does the Holy Spirit do, but how does He do it? When we separate the work of the Holy Spirit from His Word, we open up Pandora's box to go any which direction we choose to go. And we reject, we'll wind up rejecting the very words that the Holy Spirit has given to us. The inspired revelation by the Holy Spirit was supernatural, verbal, and final. There is no room for any further future or current revelation from God. Are we satisfied with what the Spirit has said about Himself and about other things and about His Word? Are we willing to accept the words of the Spirit, to believe those words and to follow those words and recognize these are not just words printed on a page. These are the words of God. They are the words that were inspired by the Holy Spirit. And if we reject these words, we reject God Himself. The Holy Spirit revealed that on the day of Pentecost, that those who heard that were His words and received those words were baptized, and there were 3,000 people added to them that day. Verse 47 says, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Verse 47. Those who believed, repented, were baptized, they were added to the Lord's church. And that church is organized by the Holy Spirit, guided by the Holy Spirit, and the revelation that we find given to us in the New Testament. Will we follow that blueprint? Will we follow the teaching of the Holy Spirit? That's the question. If we can help you in any way, won't you come while together we stand? While we stand.